This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's a beautiful Saturday. It's not 7 degrees or 10 degrees. So, you know, I figure I am blessed, let me tell you.
You hit that nice sweet spot in the middle. It's not 115.
But that's right. That's right. Things
freezing.
Are going to be all right, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
When it was so cold the other day, I wasn't sure things would be all right.
Oh, geez.
I thought, this is it. I mean, you know, I won't ever be able to go outside the rest of my life. Oh, my gosh, it was cold.
I know. You were feeling like you were living at the North Pole or something like that. So it was.
Well, and then it rained for 4 days straight.
Oh.
You know, the pond was overflowing. I mean, you know, I was going from one extreme to the other. First, we had the ice that, you know, we were down there trying to get ice broke in the little tank deal. And the pond was frozen over. And then I looked up on the roof, and there was a duck sitting on the roof. Now, how many people would believe that happened?
Really?
This duck, I don't know what happened to him. We looked up there, and there was a duck sitting on the roof. I said, you know, I don't even believe this. I mean, how is this possible? There's a duck on the roof. Oh, my gosh.
It almost feels like one of those things you say, when pigs fly, and then you look up, and there's a flying pig.
That's what I'm always saying. I'll do that when pigs fly. Well, the other morning, I figured it was over. I said, you know, when you see a duck on the roof, there's something really wrong out here.
Yeah. Golly, that's something you don't see every day or ever.
That's right. And then we had these deals that looked like cranes. They were down by the pond. I don't know what they were, what kind of bird they were.
Really?
But, yeah, then the ducks came. They were on the ice. I mean, it was definitely a cold, cold few days.
Jeez. Wow. And when it gets cold like that, if it's cold for like a day or two, it feels like it's been cold for like a month, because cold weather like lingers. It feels like it never goes away.
And, you know, we had a little wind with it, and that made it even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was cold. It was nasty. I had the fireplace going, and, you know, I was just trying to get warm.
Yeah, no doubt. Golly, it's the kind of cold that'll make your bones feel like they're made out of ice.
That's right. And you think, you know, how many clothes is appropriate to put on in the house?
How many layers can you put on without looking like the Michelin man?
That's right. And, you know.
Wow. Well, at least you're past that.
I'm thankful we got through it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go
so
ahead.
Before you know it, now it's going to be, it'll be Easter. In fact, I think Easter, actually, for real, I think Easter's
early. Well,
let's
do Valentine's
March.
Day first.
No.
Before you do Easter.
No.
No, you want to go straight to Easter.
Yeah. If I had my druthers, I'd go straight to Christmas already, so.
I know you would. You start talking about the different holidays early in the year. I mean, you're getting ready at all times.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help. The other day I saw Easter candy in the store. I really did.
And it's too much. That candy's going to be old by the time Easter gets here. Don't they know, let's have the Valentine candy first?
You would think. But I think in retail, they must have like some kind of weird calendar now where it doesn't really matter what's next. Just put all the candy out for like the whole year, all the time.
Yeah, just put lots of candy out. Well, changing the subject. Did you read this week where they want to build office tower in Oklahoma City, of all places in the whole world, that would be taller than any building in the United States.
Really?
They have lost their mind. Do you think that that thing will work? I guarantee it'll go broke before it's ever built.
Yeah, you would think.
I mean, Oklahoma City is a small Oklahoma town.
Wow.
I mean, where do they think they'll get tenants for a building that's, you know, that tall?
Yeah.
They want to build the tallest building in America. Now, I know they've got a lot of money because they're talking foolishness. And, you know, when you've got that much money and you just have to spend it,
I just
can't believe it.
I mean, golly.
I mean,
they can't even.
I don't
these
even
things.
Know if Oklahoma is ready for condos. They said they put so many stories in condominiums, and those people from Oklahoma, I think, are just going to laugh. You know, they're farmers, they're small business people. Oklahoma is not sophisticated.
No.
And then they're going to put a hotel in it.
Really?
And then there'll be office buildings. How many people in Oklahoma need an office building that's taller than a skyscraper in New York City?
Wow. I don't even know. You can't even make those kinds of things work in major metropolises like New York City at this point. And how would they ever work there?
I mean, that's what I want to know. And in Dallas, Texas, they have posted a 20-story office building for foreclosure. Not an office building. Yeah, it's an office building, 20-story office building downtown Dallas, that they can't pay the mortgage on.
Oh, geez.
And Dallas is pretty sophisticated. They have a lot of condos downtown Dallas, but apparently they don't have enough people in it to pay the mortgage.
Oh, my word. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, 20 stories, and they're going to foreclose on it. I think they borrowed $127 million.
Ooh, wow.
So if it's $127 million, for 20 stories, what do you think that thing will cost?
Oh, my goodness. That would be a fortune. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know why anybody would even think about doing that.
And if it's a public company, can you imagine the shareholders, what their exposure is?
Oh, geez.
I mean, this guy's going to take all this money they have in the treasury and what he can borrow and going to build this huge building. He said he thinks that he needs to do it in Oklahoma City to show the world what Oklahoma's got.
Yeah, but this isn't the time to do that. I mean, there's...
It's not the time or place.
No.
I mean, if they can foreclose on Dallas, which, you know, people buy condos every day. You know, they have big office buildings in Dallas. They have a lot of new ones. And then this one isn't working. This condo downtown isn't working in the office part. And it's 20 stories tall.
Jeez.
And they're going to foreclose on it.
Wow. Has that ever happened before? I'm sure maybe it has.
I mean, I don't know. I'm in shock.
Yeah.
That $127 million and that it wouldn't pay for itself. And yet over here in Oklahoma, that is half the size of Dallas. You know, Oklahoma City, I've been there many times, and it's just not sophisticated, let me tell you.
Wow. Of all the
places. They're going to build this huge building that's bigger than anything in New York City.
Yeah. Jeez. I can't even. There are office buildings all over the place that are empty. Malls that are empty. Public buildings that are empty. Real estate is not the place to be. And Oklahoma City is probably not the place to be doing it either. Oh, wow.
And, you know, they've got a lot of buildings they have foreclosed on, and what they've done is change them to condos. It's an office building, and those that didn't work out that, you know, that they couldn't pay for, now they're changing them to residential. And they said they think it'll work because a lot of people want to live in downtown areas. But the office buildings are empty.
Gee.
You know, they're about 60 to 70% empty, even in Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
So when I heard about this in Oklahoma City, I shook my head. I wouldn't want to be the bank that's going to finance that.
No.
I'd be going, oh, no, no.
No.
You know, and maybe they have enough cash, you know, that they can pay cash for it, and then it doesn't matter if anybody moves in or not.
I'm almost kind of curious if the bank would even approve something like that because of the state of things.
It would take several banks to do it.
Wow.
You couldn't do it with one bank, I don't believe.
Boy, I
did. You'd have to have a consortium.
Wow.
But it's an interesting story that really got my attention because, you know, Oklahoma City is a small area. I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
Who is going to come to Oklahoma City and move in this huge skyscraper that'll be taller than anything in the United States?
maybe they're just going to build it and then turn it into like a monument since nobody's going to move in.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'd hate to be the poor soul that either finances it or has stock in the company. I wouldn't want to have either place.
Yeah.
I would be running for cover.
This is a good time to not be in commercial real estate for sure.
Would not. Anybody that's that stupid that was going to build that kind of a monument in Oklahoma City.
Maybe they were kidding. Maybe it was a joke.
Well, they showed a picture of it.
Oh, my goodness. For real? Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had a picture and showed the outline and said, "It'll be taller than anything in the United States."
Oh, Lord.
What? And I said, run for cover.
Yeah. Run. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
We're regular folks. Maybe they know something we don't.
Maybe we're just not sophisticated enough to understand this high finance, right?
I guess. I don't know.
I'm like the old farmer, you know. The city boy goes out there and tries to sell him on all this, and he just kind of scrubs his toe and says, frankly, I just don't think I'm sophisticated enough to do business with you.
Oh, wow.
You know?
It makes you glad that you're in.
That's kind of me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand the premises, and I need to stay with something I do understand.
Yeah.
And I recommend my clients, if any of you are thinking about investing in that huge building in Oklahoma City, go and have your head examined first. And make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, get examined before you make any decisions.
That's right, because I just, you know, you talk about being out on the prairie.
Yeah.
I mean, Oklahoma City's kind of that way.
Well, maybe they haven't read the newspaper lately, or maybe they haven't seen the news, and maybe they don't know. This is not.
Well, really, they're from California.
Oh, there you go. See?
Yes, the guy's from California, and he's been talking to the city fathers and all these people, and he told them he'd bring a lot of business, that he'd put a hotel in it also, and they just, you know, they're eating it up.
That's a good idea.
Because they figure it'll be a monument, and everybody in the world will come see this thing. Because Oklahoma City didn't have anything like that.
There's a reason.
That's right. It'll be hilarious, I'll be.
Oh, wow. I really thought you were kidding at first, but I know you're not.
I am dead serious.
It seems pretty obvious to us that that's not the way to go. But, you know, whatever. I guess to each his own. If they got that kind of money and they want to go ahead and do that, I guess power to them. I don't know. You're sticking with life settlements, that's for sure, because it works.
Well, I'm sticking with what I know, and I don't want anywhere near that building.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. So speaking of life settlements, any new developments this week? Any big stuff?
Oh, yes.
Happening?
We had two maturities this week, a same guy, and somebody just called me about a week ago and asked me about this policy. This policy is Elizabeth Gugliano. And we did this policy, she had lung cancer. It spread to her tongue and her brain.
Oh, my word.
And it matured this week. There's two policies, so everybody's happy. There's a $500,000 and a $250,000 policy.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be getting that sent off for a death certificate, get everybody paid on that. So that's a good thing this week. Now, the other good thing is, this is the best news we've had in a long time. We've really, really been outbid on a lot of really good policies lately that we thought we would get, and we didn't. But we've just acquired the Billy Drake policy. Okay? It's a $3 million policy.
Whoa.
We've acquired it, and with escrow, total investment, $2,135,000.
Wow. Really?
Now, yes. And the profit for our clients is 40.453%. 40% profit, folks.
Wow.
40%. How long has it been since we've made 40?
Oh, my word. Goodness.
Yes.
How long have you been working on that one?
A month. Over a month. It took over a month to get it.
Jeez.
But their total profit's $864,000.
Wow.
That's a heck of a deal. It's the best we've had in a long time. You know, we've made 15, 16, 24%, but it's been a long time since we've made 40%.
Jeez. I hate to say that it was worth the wait, but I guess for that kind of profit, it was worth the wait. Goodness gracious.
And the premium on $3 million, let me tell you what it is, $45,000, $68,000, third year, $77,000.
Really?
That's very, very cheap.
Wow.
On $3 million.
Yeah, it is.
When you divide that out, and it's going to take about 30 people in it, it's going to be very, very tiny.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a fantastic policy. I want everybody to give us a call Monday morning and get in it if you can.
Wow.
Because it'll be first come, first served. But the profit's 40%. It's a 32-month policy. So it's the best we've had in a long, long time.
Boy, I bet that fills up fast.
I think it will. I think I can feel that by noon on Monday. I mean, if anybody turns down a 40% profit, I'm going to take you to the doctor myself and have your head examined.
If you turn down 40% profit, we got a building in Oklahoma City that we'll sell.
That's
you.
Right. Let's put them. Let's send them to those people and get them to invest that. A huge skyscraper, downtown Oklahoma. You know, if it was 20 stories, I could understand it.
Yeah.
If it was 40 stories, I could understand it. But this is going to be,
wow.
I'm going to put my money on the fact that I don't think it'll ever be built. I mean, surely not.
I kind of hope you're right, just to save people the heartache and the financial disaster from something like that. But on the other hand, I kind of want to see it.
You want to see it built.
I kind of do.
How long do you think it would take to build that monster?
Oh, Lord, 10 years?
Well, 3 at least.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at 3 or 4 years. Just the engineering. To engineer it, because, you know, they have a lot of earthquakes in Oklahoma.
Oh.
That thing better be engineered to the hilt.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Anything, and think how deep you have to go in the earth if it's that many stories tall. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. You'd have to
life isn't always fair.
No. It's not. And sometimes it's entertaining.
It is entertaining. Sometimes the people with outlandish ideas are using other people's money.
Yeah.
You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because they're not going to do it with their own.
No, I don't believe anybody that's sane would put their money in this monstrosity in Oklahoma City.
No, you might as well.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Maybe they're the same people that do crypto. I don't know.
It could be. And there's more scams in that than anything I've ever read in my life.
Yeah, I know.
What about the preacher that and his wife that I read this week were doing crypto? Of course, it wasn't real. And he said that God told him, just go ahead and take that money and don't give the people anything back. So he goes and steals all the money and spends it on himself and his wife.
Oh,
and he said
word.
God told him to do it. Now, you know that isn't true.
Oh, geez. Wow.
And he did, even though he stole it, he didn't give any of it to the church either.
Oh.
And I mean, you know.
They just went on
gosh.
Vacations or whatever.
That's wow. right. I can't believe, and a lot of crypto is good and it's honest, but there's so many people out there saying they're doing crypto and they don't even know how. They haven't even started it.
Yeah.
They don't even have a mind.
I don't even understand. I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, we did the story on the one here in Texas, and they told how much electricity it was going to cost, huge amounts, and they were going to have to get the electricity from, you know, ERCOT to do all this because it was going to take so much of the electricity off the grid.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that's come out. I haven't heard on it lately, but I know they were saying it's going to take a tremendous amount to get it done.
Good Lord. Good thing we're not in any of these other areas. I mean, my goodness. You know,
let me tell you something. You could not sleep at night if you were out here mining for this crypto that we don't even understand.
No.
You remember when we did that story, that one guy wanted to go and buy a car. And he asked him, he said, can I take this imaginary money and go down and buy a car? That's what he wanted to know. The farmer didn't understand it. He's kind of like me. He did not understand it.
To me, that's a legit question.
It was. I mean, you can't see it.
Yeah.
It's imaginary, but it's worth a lot of money.
Yeah. It's like magic air or something like that. I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense.
And I ask them, how do you store it?
Yeah. How do you store it?
You know, because it's not physical.
How do you spend it?
I don't know.
I don't know how it works. Do you scan a card? I don't know.
And then somebody comes by and they steal, you know, $1 billion worth of it. Well, how did they get it? And what did they do with it?
Yeah.
It's over our heads. We shouldn't be involved in something we do not understand. If it isn't physical, I think we better leave that alone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those weird things. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't spend it. I don't know. Life settlements, pretty basic, pretty straightforward. Annuities, pretty basic, pretty straightforward. And so that's what we stick with. That's what we know.
That's right. I think their deal, some of it is like P.T. Barnum. You do remember him. I think there's a lot of those still out there, frankly.
Traveling circus shows.
Well, let me remind you, the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo is still going on.
Ooh.
And let me tell you something. The champion steer just sold. What do you think that he brought?
Oh, Lord. I don't even dare guess. Tell me.
$440,000.
Wow. Really? Wow.
I can remember when the steakhouses spent $125,000 for him. A young girl, 14 years old, it was her steer. She is going to go to A&M.
Wow.
And proceeds of this is going to fund her college. She's going to be a veterinarian.
How cool.
Isn't that cool? And then the pig or hog, as you want to call him, because he's grown, the hog went for $120,000.
Really?
That's a lot for a hog, let me tell you. They're pretty small.
Yeah.
And the people that bought it, the guy said, you know, he was thinking about it, but he wasn't sure he wanted to buy it, even though it was the grand champion. And he says a little girl nudged him in the arm and said, come on, Daddy, get that for me. And so they bought the hog. And so obviously he is not going anywhere but to their house. $120,000 pig.
Wow. That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And used to, it was just the restaurants that bought these, you know, and now the company that bought the steer is an insurance company here in town.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yes.
So it's not even a restaurant.
And it's not even a restaurant. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with him, but they wanted that, and they said they bought the one last year for $300,000. So they've got a lot of money to play with.
Clearly. Wow.
Yes. I mean, this is a big deal to pay $440,000 for a steer. It's just an amazing story to me.
Wow.
But the little girl's very happy. As I said, she's going to A&M, going to be a vet.
Wow.
And she spent all this time getting her steer ready and fattening him up.
How old is he? What did you say her age is? Was it 14?
I believe she's 14.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And this steer was black, but it wasn't any of the brands we're familiar with. It was part Swiss.
Really?
Yeah. It was a part Swiss steer. But I'd never heard of that type.
Yeah, that's different. Huh.
It was different. It was an amazing story. But and they said they'd had over a million people had visited the rodeo and stock show as bad as the weather has been. I mean, that is amazing to me. I figured there wouldn't be 10 people there with a temperature at 6, 10, 14.
Yeah.
You know, all these different bad temperatures. And they braved the weather and went out.
Wow. That's cool. I mean, that's diehard fan. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you love to see. It's not going to happen in other places, though. It only happens here because we're dedicated.
Only in Texas.
Yes.
They're hardy dadgum souls, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I mean, we are.
But that, for a stock show, they'll go anywhere, won't they?
Yeah.
And all those kids were so proud of all their entries. They'd worked hard this year. It's an amazing story. And that girl is a member of the 4-H club.
Oh, really?
And that's, yeah, she was a 4-H'er. And, you know, you never even hear about 4-H for kids anymore.
I know it. Jeez. To be honest, I didn't even know it was still around. I mean, you used to hear about it all the time, and now it's just...
And you don't hear about it anymore. Well, in your smaller towns that are still mid-America, you have them.
Yeah.
You don't have them in your city schools anymore. But in Texas, we've got so many farming and ranching communities, they still do it.
Good. I'm glad because, you know, stuff like that, you know, it helps create a really great foundation for people later in life. And so it's nice that some of them
are still character.
Here.
It builds a lot of character.
Yeah.
If you get up before school at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and go take care of an animal, take care of them at night and on Saturdays, you know, you're a tough kid.
Yeah. That's why when you said she was 14, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of responsibility tied with all of this. And I mean, I know she's been doing it for probably years, probably since, you know, she could walk. But still, I mean, that's just fantastic. That's really, really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was too. But anyway, our deal on Billy Drake, I want to bring that up again because I'm just so flabbergasted that we finally got it. After a month, you know, a $3 million policy, and here they're going to make 40%.
Wow.
And this is the most they've made on a policy in a long time. So I want everybody to be sure and call us on Monday because it is first come on this. And I know there'll be everybody in town's going to want in it. And now's the time to get it done. As I said, it's $864,000 profit.
Good Lord.
Folks, that's a lot of profit on a policy.
Yeah, it is. Has the email already gone out, or does that?
No, it hasn't gone out. Claudia had a problem with a tooth on Friday.
Oh, no.
And, I don't think everybody got theirs. I'm just not sure
if
they did or not. But I wanted to talk about it in case they didn't get them. I talked to somebody on the phone and told them about it. So they were looking for theirs, but I don't know if she got them all out or not.
All right. So if somebody didn't, now they know about it, and so they can call you first thing Monday morning.
Yeah, they need to call first thing Monday morning if they didn't get the invitation, and we'll get them. And all they have to do is call and say, I want in that policy, and we'll put them on it. If they don't have enough money in their account, all they have to do is bring a check to the office. Sometimes their accounts run low. If they've got enough, all they have to do is say yes, and we'll take it out of their account and put it in escrow. Everything goes to escrow first, as you know.
Yeah.
And then when we get all the documentation, then we release it and pay for it.
Wow. Boy, I know that you've been waiting for a policy like that for a long time. And
we
now...
really have. You know, the Huntington policy, everybody wanted an it. We have not been able to get the information back on that guy because that's the one everybody wanted, and we have not been able to come forward with it. So we still don't know if that is going to work. But it's a wonderful policy if he's going to get where he can't do anything within the next 3 years.
Now, that's the Huntington's.
I don't know how long it takes for him to be unable to move either their hands or their mouth, you know, where they get where they can't bathe or eat by themselves or any of the other five things.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't do...
So if they say it's going to take 5 years, and we won't do it.
Yeah.
But remember, there's no premium, and remember, he doesn't have to die. So that's why we really wanted that policy.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a great opportunity. And so where does that stand?
We don't know.
Okay.
We have not gotten the health information back, and it may not work. As good as it sounds on the surface, if it isn't fairly quick, like 3 years, I don't think anybody will do that. But this one's ready. It's ready to go. Billy Drake. Just call and say, I want in the Billy Drake policy.
Wow.
And this is how much money I want to put in.
And that's $3 million, you said, right?
It's a $3 million policy, and you're going to make 40%.
Cool. Wow.
I mean,
yeah, that's
a cool deal.
That'll fill fast. Don't wait till after lunch on Monday.
Yeah, don't wait till after lunch, because you know what happens lots of times. I had someone actually say this to me. And he'll know who I am and who I'm talking about.
Uh-oh.
He didn't get in a policy, and he said, look, just take that other person out. I said, give him an excuse to take him out and put me in.
Oh, Lord.
And you know I would do such a thing, right? Yeah, I told him, I'm sorry, but I cannot do that.
Oh, wow.
It's straightforward. We cannot do that. So he didn't get in.
Oh,
he was upset. Yeah. But
we're
going to give everybody an opportunity to get some money in this policy.
Nice.
So I think it'll be a great deal. They're going to make money. But let's talk about the way these things work. If you're doing a life settlement, you know, we pay at least, and it's usually a lot more, 1% a month on your profit. It doesn't matter if it comes in early, late, or if it comes in on time. Whatever we tell you up front, that's what you're going to get. If we say it's 24%, doesn't matter what happens, you'll get 24. If we say it's 40% like on this one, you get 40%, not at closing, but when they pass away. Remember, it's not liquid until they pass away and we get paid. And remember, they always pay the face amount. It's not like stocks. It's not like any other investment where whatever it's worth that day, that's what you get. You get the face amount because it's a life insurance policy. And we do not do life insurance policies unless it's stage four. Has to be stage four cancer. You have to really be ill in order to do this. I had a lady the other day wanted to sell her policy. She's got cancer, and she needs money to go to Mexico to get treatment. I said, man, oh. I'll buy her policy every day.
Yeah.
We know if you have breast cancer and you go to Mexico, when you come back, it's already spread.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the way that works. And remember, you must be accredited to do this. You must make $200,000 a year. Or you must be worth $1 million, and that is without your home. That's a government regulation.
What's the minimum? So for new investors that come over, they want to get in?
$100,000.
Okay.
If you come to us and say, I want to put some money with you, minimum is $100,000.
Okay. All right. Cool. And how long generally does it take for a new investor to get into a policy? I know it depends on availability and all, but generally
On availability, usually it's a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Now, in this case, it will be instant. if you're a new investor, you don't already have money with us and you want to do this, you need to come and open the account. And as soon as I get the account opened, I can put you in the investment if it's right away.
Cool.
Because we're going to get this filled next week and hopefully Monday. You know, we'll have it filled, I hope, all day Monday. But if you're already with us, and right now you don't have any money in your account, but you have other accounts, everybody does, just send over a check, and we'll put it in the bank and put you in the policy. That's the way we do. And, of course, as you know, all my clients use personal checks. You know, we're kind of old-fashioned.
Yeah.
You know, we still do that. Somebody told me the other day that I'm old-fashioned because I still write checks at the beauty shop. Can you imagine? I thought everybody did. I didn't know that nobody does that.
No. In fact, there's some people that are so fancy now, they don't even pay with cards. They pay with their phone.
Yeah, and that's a little hard to do, you know. I mean, you've got to have an app. You got to do all this stuff. I was going to pay a bill this week, and it had two choices on it. And it said, pay by credit card or pay by bank. I thought, well, I'll just do it by the bank. It was too complicated. I had to go back and do it by credit card.
Oh, no.
Credit card was easier than doing it out of the bank.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Oh. And I was going to save them that fee that – you know, that their credit card company charges them. But in the end, I did it, and they got charged a fee.
Wow.
Because it was just too hard. Those apps, you have to set them up, I guess, in advance.
Yeah, it can get a little complicated.
It was, and I just didn't do it. But when people come to us, like you said, how long does it take? If we have a policy ready, they can get in instantly. If we don't, it may take several weeks.
Okay.
And right now we're trying to buy about $6 million worth of policies.
Oh, wow.
We're looking at three or four that are really good. This is the best one. But the others, I think, will be just as good. So everybody have your money ready if you want to do this. I think it's the greatest opportunity of the year.
Yeah, no doubt.
For the new year, this is the best we've had. If you can make 40%, anywhere else in the world, let me know. But I think this, you know, I don't think you can make this kind of money with anybody except us.
No.
Really, and do it safely.
Exactly.
You know, it's in an insurance policy. It's not in the stock market. So the risk goes way, way down.
Jeez. I just know that you've been waiting for something like this for so long. It's almost like a big relief to get one of these in. So, and to have it be so big for profit, it's just like icing.
Yeah, and it took us over a month. We didn't think we were going to get it. There was two or three times we thought the other company was going to buy it because they kept going up. And I said, we can't go up anymore. This is the best we can do. And they called back and said, they've accepted your offer.
Wow.
So the contracts are on their way to us. So we want to close quickly and get the beneficiary changed over to us and get it on the road. So that's the best news I've got today is that. The other good news is if you're approaching 65 to 70, you may want to have some money in annuities. And always make sure it's an annuity company that's got great assets, that's an A or A+. And that has billions of dollars in assets. That's the best thing you can do. And then the only other thing that's really important on an index annuity is ask them up front, can I take everything out at the end of the 10-year period? Or do I have to take a payout? If they say you have to take a payout, that's not a good deal. On everything we do, you can take the whole thing out at the end of 10 years. And you can take 10% a year all that way, or you can take a payout. But there's one other company that we used to represent, and now they say, no, it's been 10 years. No, you can't take all your money out. You've got to take a payout.
Really?
That's right. They're not letting them take a lump sum. Our companies let you take a lump sum at the end of the term and walk away. Also, we've still got the 12% bonus, and you can get the bonus every time you put money in for 3 years. So you not only can get a bonus of 12%, we can also give you what the profit is going to be. So that's going to give you about 16% first-year return.
Jeez.
Where in the world on an annuity are you going to get 16% first year?
Yeah. And then the other thing is that annuities are another, I guess, conservative avenue for investing. You're not in the stock market, but you're mirroring, but, right?
Yeah, but you don't have the risk.
Yeah.
You know, it mirrors the stock market. It's never directly in the stock market, which is a great thing. So you have the opportunity to make money And if the stock market makes money, you do. If it doesn't, you don't lose a dime.
Yeah.
Never lose a dime. The only way you can ever lose money in an annuity is if you've got one that has fees. And you ask them, now, if I do this or that, do I have a fee? If they say yes, you have to rethink it. We've only done two people in fees, but if somebody had a lot of money, and they're going to be putting a lot of money in every year, so the fee will not bother them. But other people, it would, because if it didn't make a lot that year and you've got 1% fee, you know, you don't want that.
Mm-mm.
So we take the bonuses while they're still available, and then this first year we would put you in a fixed rate, so that would give you about 16, 17% first year. Then every year after there for 3 years, every time you add money to it, you get a bonus of 12%. You can't beat that.
No, you really can't.
If you have 3 years with 12%, and then it makes an average of 10% the rest of the time, you've got a great investment.
Yeah, no doubt. And both are conservative, and both are, you know, even if the I don't know, something happens, you know, whether it's annuities or life settlements, you've got that safety net so you don't have to worry about the bottom falling out. I'm sure people's anxiety is much better. They sleep at night not having to worry about what if something else happens. Am I going to lose everything? The answer is no, you won't. So
that's right. And we have three people that died last year. And unfortunately, widows like the risk. And I don't understand it. And someday I'm going to get to the bottom of it. But a widow will take her money out of something safe and put it at risk. And now when they lose a lot of that, they're going to be crying.
Yeah.
They're going to wonder how it happened.
Yeah. And you see it happen, but, you know, you've seen it happen
I've
quite
seen
a few
it
times.
Happen a lot of times.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they would just leave it where their husband had it, they'll make money. We put the interest in their account every time. And so it's accumulating principal and interest at all times.
Yep.
And it won't go backwards on you. But you get in the stock market, and time you pay their fees, and then they put it in as something different every day or every 2 weeks or a month, you don't have a fighting chance.
Mm-mm. No.
Unless you're sophisticated and can direct them. If you're sophisticated and tell them what you want to put it in, what you see the dividends as, what the you think that company's going to do, if you're that sophisticated, yes, you could do that. But I'm talking about people that are not sophisticated. They're ordinary human beings out here in Texas, and they don't understand the stock market. So why in the world would you do that?
Yeah.
I've had people come to me, they bring me their statement, and I look at it, and I say, well, here it didn't make any money here. They go, well, I didn't know. I said, well, what is invested in? I don't know.
Oh, no.
If you don't even understand the investment, why in the heck would you do it?
Yeah. Jeez.
And widows especially. I saw on Next Door, this widow says, would somebody direct me to a broker, I want to see if I can invest in stocks. I go, oh my gosh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that won't last long.
Oh, wow.
Because I read every day where they've lost millions and millions, and they're crying.
Yeah, and when you're in your 70s or 80s, you don't want to be losing millions and millions. It's not a good time for something like that to happen. Oh, wow.
And then we have people that go out, and elderly people that have great annuities, and these old guys go out and try to talk them out of their annuity. But my client, this happened to her, and she's almost 90. And she was livid. I mean, she was mad. And she wrote the insurance company. She wrote the State Board of Insurance. And she said, they lied to me. They were going to take my annuity and change it out. She said, I won't pay to continue to see after my annuities as long as I'm here.
Wow.
I mean, she was pretty hot.
Yeah, I would say so.
And now, a lot of elderly people wouldn't have caught it. They would have thought it was the same company they had their annuities with. But she is sharp. She's almost 90, but she's sharp as a pen. And when they left, she read what they'd done, and she knew they'd just put it to her.
Ugh.
And she didn't stand for it, let me tell you. And she lives in Amarillo. And, you know, she comes from a ranching family. They've been in business all their life, and so she's sharp. And but a lot of people wouldn't have caught that. Somebody that their husband took care of all their business wouldn't have caught it. And you know, and then they lose all that interest that they've got accumulated.
Wow.
So just be careful out there. It's a wonderful world, and most people are honest. Every once in a while, there's a sneak in the butt.
Yeah, and they're very sneaky, and they're very tricky, and it looks, you know, talk a big game, and things look really fancy and shiny and exciting and new, and be careful, because that's how they get you. So
that's right.
Go ahead.
So we want everybody to be safe.
All right. This is Your Money with Faith Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
It is Mardi Gras in Galveston, Texas.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you know they have Mardi Gras in Galveston, Texas?
No, I did not.
I did not know it either. I ran across it. I did a lot of research, and I was shocked. They have been having Mardi Gras in Galveston since 1867.
Really? You'd think by now I'd have heard about this.
That's right. It's the third largest Mardi Gras in the United States of America.
Really? Wow.
Yes. And right there on the island. You know, Galveston's got so much history. You got all these historical homes, historical markers on everything. And to think that they are going, it starts in February the 2nd to the 13th. They have 12 days of Mardi Gras in Galveston.
Huh. Am I the only one that hasn't heard about it yet?
You and me both.
Wow.
But anyway, they say you can put the sand between your toes, look at the sunsets. Get involved. It dominates Galveston Island during Carnival. It's just the darndest thing I ever heard of. In 1867, they had their first masked ball, and that was at Turner Hall. They had a theatrical performance from Shakespeare, King Henry IV.
Really?
Now, that was in 1867.
Wow. That's a very different beginning.
Yes, and so then... they started celebrating on a grand scale. In 1871, they had the emergence of two rival Mardi Gras societies. One was called the Knights of Momus, known as initials KOM, then the Knights of Myth. And both of them devised night parades and mass balls. They had most exquisite costumes for back then, elaborate invitations. Then in 1918, we had World War One. So they had to cancel, and they confined it just to a little bit. But the festivities and the King Frivolous resumed the following year. They weren't going to miss out. Then in 1928, they changed their name to the Mystic Merrymakers. And still was they were having the parades, the balls, and then they did a theme called Dandy's Inferno. Then the song and story, the passing show, the events of the year, but it was too much for them. They just got where it was so expensive, they got too elaborate, so they had to cancel. So 40 years went by before they got back into the game of Carnival. And then they had themes such as Crusades, Peter the Great, and all this goes through downtown. It ends at Turner Hall, and then they present this grand gala. But then they didn't want to be outdone. So the Knights of Myth sponsored a spectacular parade. And according to the newspapers, suddenly sprang out of the earth. They had torchlights. They had cars, horses. Then they featured Pocahontas. Then the Scallywag's enemies and Bismarck's grand band. So in the years that followed the parades, the balls grew more elaborate. Pomp and circumstance splendor. And people came from all over the state. And they say this year there'll be over 1 million people probably go there.
Really?
Yeah. And then 1872, the newspaper reports that Mardi Gras promised to eclipse anything ever attempted in Texas. So then they had the new opera house. Can you imagine that, an opera house back then?
Wow. Cool.
And they decorated it with hundreds of caged canaries.
Wow. All right.
Then in 1873, visitors from around the state were attending, and then the governor, E.J. Davis, and state officials came, and they rode the Mardi Gras parade, and it was dubbed the Era of Chivalry. And they had floats, they had characters from the 6th through the 15th century. And they, can you imagine? Then in 1880, the parades provided, they were just too extravagant, too expensive. But the Mardi Gras balls continued. Then in 1910, the carnival parades were revived again. It was called the Cotton Carnival Kids. And they staged parades, and Galveston had a cotton carnival, and they gave their first dance in 1914. Hmm. They had their first snowfall in 1914 in Galveston, Texas.
Oh, boy.
I mean, here we have an island that's, you know, sun and games, and they had a snowfall.
Yeah.
And then in 1917, their mass ball had added glamour with the first official appearance of King Frivolous in his court. And they came by royal yacht. Now, can you imagine what they're spending on all this in Galveston, Texas?
I can't even begin to imagine. It's a fortune.
I mean, it's over our head.
Yeah.
And then they had brilliant, lavish carnivals, and that was through 1941. And they had a shortage of men because of the war.
Oh, yeah.
And so then they couldn't have him for a long time because of our wars. Then in 1985, George Mitchell, the oil man, and his wife Cynthia, they launched the revival of a citywide Mardi Gras celebration. And they had dreamed of restoring the island's splendid tradition, and they opened the elegant Tremont House Hotel.
Really?
And again, it was in the historic district. And they featured a mile-long grand night parade called the Age of Mythology. Can you imagine a mile long?
I can't. That's massive. That's huge.
And they had hundreds of musicians, marching bands, and clarinetist Pete Fountain joined them.
Really?
Yeah, Pete Fountain was there. And they had 75,000 cheering spectators back then. And they had the first Galveston artwork and musical performance. And it's been going on ever since then. And they think this year will be the biggest yet. And remember, this started a long, long time ago. And they think it's as big or more beautiful maybe than New Orleans.
I'm just so shocked that this has been going on since like 18.
And nobody even knows about it in our part of the country.
How do we not know?
I mean, yeah, and they spend millions of dollars putting this on, and they love it so much, and they're doing it for 12 days. How could we party for 12 days? I mean, how many people could party after one night?
Yeah. Jeez. And they expect this year to be bigger than New Orleans?
Oh, yeah. It's bigger and beautiful. You know, it's just amazing to me. I've seen pictures. They're in color. It is amazing and magnificent. I imagine the families that go there just look up and their eyes are mesmerized by these floats and all these people dressed. And can you imagine, it took millions to put this on every year.
I know.
And then at one time they had to stop for 40 years because it got so elaborate, got so expensive.
It got out of control.
It got out of control, but Galveston has tickets available. They advertise it on their website that it'll be 12 days of merriment. Wow. People will fun and games for 12 days. We couldn't stand it. I mean, most of us couldn't stand 12 days of merriment.
No. Wow. Wow.
About 3 hours and we'd be down for the count.
Yeah, it's like in 3 hours, that's our fill for like the next year. Wow.
That's right. And we would love the parades. We'd love all the dancing musicians, the floats and all this. But 12 days.
When's it start? February 2nd?
2nd through the 13th.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the merriment is just fixing to start. That's why I wanted to talk about it. In case someone was brave enough to go to Galveston and see this extravaganza.
If anybody is, I want to hear about it. I want to know.
I want to hear about it. I want them to take pictures if they've got the guts to go and do it.
Yeah. Really. I do like the fact, though, that they predict this year to be bigger than New Orleans, which is exactly what we're all about, bigger and better.
Texas is always bigger. That's why it's been so elaborate, because look who they are. They're saying, well, if we do it in Texas, it's got to be elaborate. It's got to be the finest.
Yeah.
That's why they got up there in those millions of dollars spending on the floats and the dances and the performances and the shows they're having. Well, look at that. All the shows that they've had are magnificent.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to have a lot of actors. It goes through the historic district. You know, Galveston has got some of the best historic things of any city in America, much less Texas.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
The museums, the Moody House. I mean, there's so many historical things. It's so old, you know. And if you remember the hurricane, two hurricanes took Galveston out years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it leveled it. Mm-hmm. But it came back bigger and better, and it's quite an island.
Yeah. It's a great place to go just on a regular vacation. But, you know, something like this, it would be something that I don't think we've ever seen before with our own eyes.
I don't think we'd have our mouth open and our eyes open, wouldn't we?
Yeah,
we'd
would.
We'd be saying, oh, my gosh, this is grand.
Oh,
it is a grand thing.
It is.
And anybody that's got in guts at all should go and see it and report back.
Yeah.
And say, this was a gorgeous place. They've got the old places you can stay. They've got the new places. And then do all the historic things.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, the history of Galveston. We need to do that one of these days, all the history, again, of Galveston, because it's a marvelous island.
No doubt.
And we're lucky to have Galveston.
We are. We really are.
You know, it's an old, old seaport.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. So
it really is.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
All right, real quick before we go, I know you already talked about accreditation with life settlements. We should probably go over the two risks. What's the big one? They're the biggest.
The biggest risk is it could go over and you would have to pay premiums. And we always tell you up front what the premiums are. It's not going to be a surprise before you ever invest your money each time we tell you. This is how much the premium will be if it goes over. And then the other risk is it's not liquid until they pass away. Everybody should know that. Because if they haven't passed away, we can't get your money.
Yeah.
But once they pass away, you know, you get paid, and that's how it works.
And so this is a good time. I know you've got the big Drake policy on the table right now, but then you've got some others that you're working on. So it's a good time for people to come over, get accounts set up, get things in place, so that if you do get these other policies you're working on, that everything is set up and they can get in fairly quickly. Is that correct?
That's right. It's a good time to invest. It's a safety investment. It's safer than anything I know. If you're in real estate, you may really wish you were in this. We have some people that are selling some real estate, putting money with us. So it's a good time to be in a safe investment. No matter what happens this year, your money is always safe.
No doubt. All right. And you've got appointments available to talk to people this coming week, I'm
sure.
We
do. We're going to be talking to people, setting up new accounts, taking their money, send it in to Nevada Trust. Remember, the checks go to Nevada Trust.
Cool. All right, Faye, one last time for people to call, make an appointment, come see you, get some information. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.